even though, and remember I had mentioned that a lot of times you could go to, you know, I had mentioned that I could you could go to my children and they could give you all these things about facts about Christianity, but if you ask them about, hey, explain the new covenant to me, there would kind of be a blank stare. And one thing, so as I've been preparing for this, the Lord just reminded me, and we're going to talk about today, the power of the new covenant. And, it, you know, it's interesting. If you don't know the Lord, you don't know anything about, you know, new covenant. Do the society know anything about covenants at all anymore? Well, we talked about last week. Remember we started about where it started. Remember the seed that was sown by Satan, the serpent. Remember the serpent. Remember we told you that serpents don't have ears. They can't hear. And when man fell, when mankind fell from the seed that was sown, mankind could really not really hear God anymore. And you remember when Jesus, remember John the Baptist was baptizing, and what did he call the Pharisees that came? He says, "You serpents." See, they couldn't hear God. Remember, how does a serpent detect anything? It's with their tongue. So what is the enemy? What does he try to do, the serpent who cannot hear God? Amen. Is he tries to speak to people lies. It's his native language, the enemy. Has anybody ever been trapped in a lie of the enemy for a while? And it might as well have been real because you believed it. Then you realized it was the lie of the enemy. And so we talked about this seed, and then Jesus came, right? The second Adam. And then through our faith and trust in him, became born again, a new spirit inside you, right? This incorruptible seed. Amen. And now Jesus being the firstborn among many brethren. Well, who's the many? That's me and you, brethren and sisters. Is that how you say it, sisters? Did I say it right? You know what I mean? And so it's all in this seed, right? And mankind trying to please God. It wasn't fair that every person was born without no hope, really. You can't do enough good works to earn it, right? In the scales, it doesn't happen. There's nothing you can do to please God in yourself. Thus the reason Jesus Christ came, amen? And so that hearing the gospel, our ears open, right? Our ears open. And then we became able to hear the voice of God. Isn't that amazing? And a lot of the fight for you and I is what is the enemy's always working to say, hey, to speak something and for us to believe it's God when it's not. Once again, being that Satan is what? A liar, and he is the father of lies. When he speaks his native language. Amen? So being born again, believer in Christ Jesus, you and I can hear the voice of God. So the seed sowed by Satan in the garden, we know that Satan, the serpent, had no ears. Then it talked about the seed of Christ. Remember, talk about the seed of Christ. I believe in Genesis 3. He shall bruise your heel, but it's talking about, but the woman's seed would bruise his head, which means, if you look at it, means a mortal wound. Satan has received a mortal wound. Did you know that? And the way that you and I realize that is through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen? Amen. He's designed us to be victorious in every way, shape, and form. It's the truth. Victorious. Amen and amen. And so that power, remember we talked about that powerful covenant that God made with himself, with Abraham. What did Abraham do? Was he a part of that? No. He believed. As he watched, as the different animals that were cut in two, and he watched that fire pop, or that torch and that smoking oven go through those different animals that were being sacrificed. Wouldn't that have been amazing? And then also understanding that what did Abraham do? He drove off the birds, though. You know, the enemy that will also speak to us, but we're always aware of the enemy always trying to steal what God has for you, for what God is trying to speak to you, what God is trying to do through you, it is doing through you. The enemy, so what did he do? He drove off those birds, said, no, you're not gonna be a part of this. He drove off those birds, and then he believed in God. Isn't that amazing? Let me just say a few things about the new covenant. I'm going to read real quick. Luke 2, 10 and 11. I'm going to read through some scriptures as we get going. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, We usually read this at Christmas time. I bring you good news. Amen. Don't you like good news of the gospel? Of great joy that will be for all people. Great joy. So one thing we know about this new covenant, man, is it brings great joy. Great joy. Good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Hallelujah. And then it continues in Luke 20, 30, and 32. For my eyes have seen your salvation. So this was a prophet that was there, and he saw the Christ when he came into the temple. And he says, my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Let me just tell you by this, that you came to Christ Jesus, if you're born again, by revelation. Something came alive to you that might have not ever come alive before and said, this is the answer. Amen. It wasn't a test or a quiz that you took to see if you got the answer right. No, you began to realize by revelation, this is the answer for what I've needed in my life. So this covenant, new covenant, will always come by revelation. By revelation. God revealing it to you. If there's anything you hear me say all the time, is asking the Lord to reveal himself to you. Don't look at everything with academically. Amen. Academically, it's great to do some things academically, learn the word and everything, but it's the revelation of Jesus Christ that will set a person free. John 1, 16 and 17, the first scripture I want to read in this new covenant, part 2, grace. New covenant, part 2, grace. For of his fullness we have all received. And grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. You know, does this mean, I want to say, does this mean the law is gone? No. I've learned as I've grown in the Lord, I delight in his law. I love reading the law. But I don't read it the same way I used to. Not at all. It no longer brings condemnation. It no longer something I read and say, man, once I am able to get this down, whatever my interpretation is of get this down means, then I'll be acceptable. Now I read it with a whole different view that I am already set free. I already belong to him. I already am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now I can read it with a whole different perspective, saying, Lord, reveal your goodness to me. Reveal your character. Reveal how you think about certain situations to me. Lord, reveal what's right and wrong. Lord, show me the things that you want me to see for my life. But I do it now with a restful heart, not trying to prove anything, not trying to get anything, but just simply saying, Lord, show me. You know, that's a good place to be. It's a restful place to be. Lord, show me. So this is me. This is Chadology. So please don't burn me. Don't fire any darts at me. Okay? So this is the pillars of the new covenant as I see them. Grace, faith, and truth. Grace, faith, and truth. And you might say this, you might say, but didn't Jesus bring love? Yeah, he is love. But did you notice here it didn't say that he brought love? Isn't that interesting? Jesus brought power. You shall be endued with power from on high, but it didn't say that he brought power. It doesn't say that he brought an anointing, although he is the anointing one, the anointed one. If you know him, his anointing already rests within you. But you notice that it doesn't say that he brought an anointing. It didn't say that he brought love. It didn't say that he brought power, because I believe under God's grace and mercy is where there's a revelation, a revealing, and a walking in his love, his joy, his peace, his power, his goodness. All of these things are revealed, and you and I walk in through the grace of God. Let me just say that if the grace of God, I've come to realize that the grace of God is the pillar, that pillar, first pillar, that I've come to realize with the new covenant. So I want to talk about grace today. I believe it'll be an outpouring of the grace of God that turns people from darkness to the light. I believe there's going to be a revelation, a revealing of grace like never before. Hang on to it. I'll show you by scripture. God's grace. God's grace. Amen. Romans 5:20 says, But the law came to increase and expand the awareness of, Romans 5:20, the trespass, that's sin, right? By defining and unmasking sin. Say, aha, you don't have an excuse anymore. It's been unmasked. Sorry, no longer have an excuse anymore. It's in the law. I've revealed what's right and wrong. So there, you're without excuse. Does that make sense? No more excuse. But where sin increased, let's continue. But where sin increased, God's remarkable, gracious gift of grace, his unmerited favor, has surpassed it and increased all the more. That's the wonderful thing. No matter what kind of darkness you may find yourself in this morning, or what you're struggling with as we talk about it, his grace, his power, his grace can overcome anything that you're struggling with. Matter of fact, it'll only be your grace, his grace, that'll do that in you, to allow you, to help you overcome anything that you might be struggling with. You can't do it all. Let me just say it right now. You cannot do it on your own. You can try. You can do all the things you want to be free from things. But when you rest in his grace, I'm telling you, a freedom comes that you will never be able to realize on your own. A matter of fact, and grace, let me ask you now, what do you know about grace? I told you before that when people would mention grace to me, I just thought, the first thing out of my mouth is, yeah, but you can't be sinning. So my understanding with grace, I knew nothing of its power. I knew nothing about the dispensation, how God was dealing with people today with the power of the grace of God. You know, I remember getting born again in 1985, February 21st. I even remember the day, that long ago. I'm 18 years of age. I was radically saved. I started going downtown bringing derelicts to church because I was an ex-derelict. So what's that ex-derelict going to do? He's going to get all the other derelicts and say, let's go to church. So I loaded up my vehicle. I had this, I forgot what it was, model Toyota something. I had this big, and it was barely running. And I had this sticker on the back of it that said, Japanese Cadillac. And in the trunk, the bottom of the trunk was the top of the gas tank, and it was rusted out. So there was gas just slopping back and forth in the trunk. So I'd pick up all these people. I'd say, you cannot light a cigarette in here. We're all going to heaven right now. You know, this is when I got saved. So I would load up all these derelicts, bring them to church. And then I worked on a construction site. And no, I wouldn't play construction. I mean, I wouldn't play Christian music. No, I was blaring Hellfire and Brimstone preaching. So there'd be this construction site, and I'd have David Wilkerson. I don't know if some of you know who David Wilkerson is, man, but I'm telling you, I would have Hellfire Brimstone preaching, just blaring. And it was two things. I had construction workers, man, humbling themselves and crying and weeping, or the other group of them hiding from me. So they were either talking to me about Jesus, or I could see them. They were like, where is this guy right now? So I mean, that's radical. Now, not music. You're going to get, you know, the hellfire stuff. But, you know, this is the problem. Let me just tell you a little bit. I started having struggles. Mind you, I'm 18 years of age. Struggles of the flesh and mind. Everybody's going to have those. Everybody's going to have those this week, by the way. So I did what every good Christian boy would do. I started fasting 3 days at a time, and then 5 days at a time, because I need to get rid of these struggles. Hear me, if you can, hear me today, please. You know, I started undergoing these extensive deliverance sessions, and I believe in deliverance, don't get me wrong. But I was going through these extensive, my wife remembers these days, these extensive deliverance sessions, trying to cast out a spirit, unhook a spirit, get a spirit out of me, get a spirit away from me. And so I was going through those extensive deliverance sessions. I started memorizing scripture daily. You know, because I was told to renew your mind with memorization. Nothing wrong with it. I started doing that. I confessed my sins in front of a large group of men. I went through this program at a church called Cleansing Streams. So you would go through this extensive study of how to break generational curses over your life and just all this different things. And it ended with a three-day fast. I would go through seasons where I would spend 2 hours a day in prayer in my prayer closet. Sometimes I would pray on my knees until late into the night, asking for revelation and freedom from what bound me. I did all of this to win a battle. You know, I would have some of these amazing experiences in the Lord, I just want to say. I remember being in this church, me and Gene, I don't remember if you remember, hon, I didn't even talk about it, but we were at church on the street. And the power of God came so much, and we were just sitting there for hours just laughing our guts out on the floor. I mean, was that real? It was absolutely real. It was amazing. I mean, I know because of what was going on, the amazing power of God was there. You know, I remember being the treasurer of a large church, very much trusted. I'm going to say all these effort, and I finally came to a point where I was completely bound. Instead of getting free, when I was doing this, I just want to say this for me, while I was doing these things, I became more bound and bound and bound and bound. But I was fasting. I was praying. I was going through deliverance sessions. And sometimes I remember one time praying into the night, and I had to pray on my knees because the Apostle John had knees like a camel, they said. So that's what I need to do. I need to pray on my knees like the Apostle John. And so even sometimes God is so gracious because I'd be praying into the night and I would have these wonderful experiences in the Holy Spirit that I remember till today now. And now I can, through a different lens, I see them. But God was doing some things. But I can say that I was never free one iota. I kept getting more bound and more bound and more bound because I knew nothing of the grace of God and everything about all the things I needed to do. You know, it's interesting what vexed, tormented people will do. Can you hear me today? They can be alcoholics. They can be drug addicted. They can be in a three-piece suit working 80 hours a week. They can pursue and have multiple degrees. They can be in churches giving all their free time to the Lord. They can give all their time to charity. They can spend their time pursuing the right experience in the Holy Spirit. They can be in the pulpits preaching with great fervor all the time living a life in some form of vexation and bondage if you do not know a revelation of the grace of God. Yes, that is the key. I believe that is going to be the key for this generation of young people that are in such deep darkness that when they come out, they're going to come into a grace of God and an understanding of His goodness and His love, which is going to be a release of His power once they have a revelation of that we haven't seen yet in our young people. Hallelujah. I was just reading this morning about 200 people in Alabama after a football game going down and getting baptized. And of course, all the liberals now are trying to stop that. Well, why do they care? Let these people get baptized. Leave them alone. And so I believe we're going to start seeing more of this. The supernatural. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to be an understanding of the grace of God that's going to set people free. Hallelujah. You know, so all this time I was pursuing an anointing, but not realizing His anointing already lived in me. Hallelujah. All this sacrificing I was doing, but wasn't realizing that He had paid the ultimate sacrifice. All the pursuit of these things that I have already obtained by grace through Christ, yet by faith. Amen. So I'm saying this, I believe we are in a dispensation of grace, new covenant, unmerited favor. I've come to realize that grace is all the fruit of the Spirit of God in me. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, that's fruit. My walking in His grace and His mercy and His love, realizing His love for me, who I am in Him, I don't listen to the lies of the enemy, right? You're not going to measure up. You need to be doing more of this, do more of that. But I don't believe the lies of the enemy and keep pursuing His love for me. All of a sudden, this fruit, by grace, starts to come up out of my soul. The love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the gentleness, the goodness, the meekness, and the temperance. I didn't even mention all the monies me and Gina spent on counseling. Not realizing it was just this key, realizing the truth of the new covenant. The new covenant. The new covenant will set you completely free. And the first thing is understanding this unmerited grace. 1 Corinthians 15, 8 through 10. We're going to talk a little bit about Paul here. And Paul says this is, and last of all, as to one untimely born, right? This is Paul. He didn't walk on earth with Jesus, right? He wasn't one of the original disciples that became an apostles. And last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. For I am the least of the apostles and not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Now listen to this, as he, but by the grace of God, by what? But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Let me just say this. It's by the grace of God that you're going to be what you are. Let me just say this. When Moses met in the burning bush, he says, tell him that. He says, I am that I am. But now here in grace, he's saying, hey, that I am lives in me. By his grace, I am what I am. Amen. Now his fire burns on the inside of me and leads and guides me. Amen. All these things are types and shadows of God's goodness and grace in Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Because I persecuted, but by the grace of God, I am that I am. And then it says it again, and his grace toward me did not prove vain. It means he kept pursuing that grace of God. He realized it was the grace of God that freed him, that set him free, that revealed this new covenant to him. Amen. By this grace, I am what I am. This grace did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God within me. You've heard me say that. So, man, he's digging this grace thing. He uses grace three times. Do you think that the grace of God was a revelation to Paul? My question to you is, do you have a revelation of the grace of God? Or is it just a side word or something you might sing in a song? What do you know about the new covenant? Number one, I think for me, there's these pillars, is the grace of God. If Jesus brought grace and truth, amen, then I think we better understand the power of God's grace in yours and my life. So someone says, hey, are you a grace preacher? Absolutely. So was Paul. Absolutely. Absolutely. So his grace was not prove vain, man. If you continue to walk in his goodness and his grace and his power, you'll continue to grow in him. Your confidence in your walk in him will continue to grow. Amen. He'll open doors for you. He'll do things far beyond what you're capable of. And that is grace, my friends. That is God's grace. It's his strength and ability. God's grace of strength and his ability. These things that God has placed in your life. What did Paul say? Hey, I mean, look, Paul's making a big statement. He's talking about all the other apostles, Peter, John, James, all these other apostles. He's saying, I worked harder than all of them. I mean, I'd like to know how he knows that. But he's saying, I worked harder than all of them. Then he said, not me, but the grace of God within me. The power of the grace of God within you. How he loves you and I. Saints, if we could just get an understanding of this grace, our foundation of grace. It's not something that, okay, I got grace down, next. No, you will move and live and breathe continually for the rest of your life in the grace of God. And when you think you've grown past grace, remember that scripture, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. When we think we've moved past that, we don't need it, or we don't need an understanding of it, then what are we going to have an understanding of, right? No, it starts with an understanding of God's grace in yours and my life. Amen. Let me read a few things. You still with me for a few more minutes? Amen. So Paul was the apostle of grace. Let me read this. The Hebrew equivalent of Paul's word for grace is found only 68 times in the Old Testament. Let me just say there's grace in the Old Testament, but remember what Paul said? He says, this gospel of mine was hidden, but now it's being revealed through Jesus Christ. Amen? So when it says it's hidden, it was hidden till the right time. It doesn't mean it wasn't there. No, it was there throughout all the Old Testament, this thread of grace. But when Christ gave his life, amen, all of a sudden there became a revelation, specifically even more so with Paul than any other of the apostles, about this grace of God. Paul was an apostle of grace. The Hebrew equivalent of Paul's word for grace is found only 68 times in the whole Old Testament, which is nearly 12 times the size of Paul's epistles, including Hebrews. And then not always relating to God's grace and never to the dispensation of grace. In the four Gospels, the word grace, or charis, with its derivatives, appears in the original only 13 times, and then rarely even in a doctrinal, much less a dispensational connection. By comparison, the epistles of Paul, only about 1/12 the size of the Old Testament and 1/2 the size of the four Gospels, employs the word grace and its derivatives no less than 144 times. More often than all the rest of the Bible together, and nearly twice as often as the whole Testament and the four Gospels combined. And then in Paul's epistle, the word grace is nearly always used doctrinally in connection with the dispensation of grace. Let me just give you a few scriptures on this as we move forward a little bit. So did Paul talk about God's grace? Yeah, a lot. This dispensation and understanding of what grace is this favor that you and I don't deserve. This favor that you and I walk in by faith alone. By faith alone. Is that amazing? I'm telling you, that is amazing to me. I've come to realize that a lot of times those who have this really understanding of grace have to come to the end of themselves. You have to come to the end of all your efforts. You have to come to the end of everything you've done to where finally you give up in your own flesh to understand God's goodness. And then you humble yourself. And then there's this revelation of God's grace that radically changes a life. You could be here today and say, I've tried. I want to believe that God loves me. If you're one of those individuals, this is what I realize. If you're an individual saying, I want to believe that God loves me, you need a revelation of God's grace. If you're here with somebody who keeps struggling, know this, the Lord loves you and wants to give you a revelation of grace to break those things off your life. It will be his grace, his power, his goodness, and his love that'll do it. If you can do it on your own, as I tried for so many decades, it was several decades, I'd get all my ducks in a row and then something else would happen. I was like, ah. When you tried to control your sinful behavior by your own behavior, it's going to squirt out somewhere. You're going to plug a hole, and here's another hole. You go to plug that, and then the whole top blows off. It can only be done through the love and the grace and the mercy of God. A revelation of grace is what we need today more than ever. It's what young people need more than ever. People coming from all the different backgrounds that they come from, the traditional home like I was raised in, and many communities, that does not exist at all. But the grace of God still exists. I said the grace of God still exists. Therefore, the power of God still exists. Amen and amen. Let me read a few more scriptures because you guys always love scripture. Acts 20:24. This is Paul, so I'm talking about Paul, right? He says, so this is his farewell to the Ephesus church. He says, but none of these things move me, nor do I account my life dear to me, to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy. And the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. There you go right there. There's one of them. To the gospel of the grace of God. What I want to be able to declare with understanding is the gospel of the grace of God. My question is understanding where you are, doesn't matter where you're at, understanding the gospel of grace, his grace working in you when you don't deserve it, helping you when you can't do it on your own, helping you and still being with you when you have a day of going crazy, whatever going crazy may be in your life. Still being with you when you've had a week of craziness. He's still there. He still loves you. He's still pursuing you. That's called the grace of God. Pursuing you. Loving you. Always trying to speak to you. Who's in contrary to the grace of God? Satan. One thing I realized too, when people say, hey, I hope you're going to give us a good beating today with the Word of God. Well, I used to do that too. I used to say, I need a good thrashing. Because I thought it somehow it would get my flesh to behave. No. When people say to me, hey, I need a good tongue lashing from the pulpit, I'm not being mean. I'm realizing they don't understand the grace of God. The love and the mercy of God. Can God challenge you? Absolutely. Can he convince you and convict you? Absolutely. But if you think me beating on your flesh is going to make you behave, it might be for a few days, but then you're going to start trying to plug holes again. Amen? But I love it when you give it to him. Amen? Say, Lord, you know this thing, and I give it to you, and I walk in your peace and your rest, even in the middle of my crazy. That's liberating. That's when you will start walking and coming into freedom. Being 100% confident in the middle of the struggle. Say, Lord, I give it to you. And one thing I come to realize with the grace of God, too, is there's no more excuses. You can't give an excuse now, because the grace of God is there to set us free. So you can't, well, I can't do this because of this, this, and this. God's got grace for that. Well, I do this and this because of this, this, and this. God's grace will set you free from that. So I've also seen people, once they realize God's grace and there's no more excuses, they'll walk away. They won't come into his grace. They'll actually walk away from his grace. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be an individual that has any excuse to not come fully into an understanding of his grace. To not come into a full understanding of who I am in him. I got to keep going because I got some good stuff. I mean, just a few more scriptures down. Acts 20:32 says this, and now I entrust you to God and to the word of his grace. He's still talking to the Ephesus church and to his grace, into which we stand and rejoice in the hope and glory. No, that's the wrong one. Sorry, next one. So we stand by grace. Let me just read a few more scriptures. Romans 5:1-2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, hallelujah. Any people of faith in here? We got some people of faith in here? There, having been justified faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. So you are going to stand by grace. Did you know that? You're going to be planted by the rivers of living water, like Psalm 1 says, by the grace of God. Amen? You're going to experience his nourishment and his truths and his power in your life by his grace and by his grace alone. Romans 3:23, you know this. So I just want to, just a reminder. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace. By his grace, a gift. Through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. He's washed and cleansed all of our sins, amen. Never counting them against us. It's a gift of grace. Do you understand? Have you received his gift of grace? I remember how difficult it was for me because of my thinking. Like you've heard me say, and if you're new, I was like, can this be true? There's no way. It's got to be his love and his salvation. Somehow it's got to be difficult. It's got to be full of these sacrifices. And don't get me wrong, there's these sacrifices that come from a heart of grace. For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Then it says we were created in Christ Jesus for good works. But it's out of already being born again and saved. Amen. So I want to talk a little bit about this. I just want to make sure an understanding about struggles. Because that's where we can fall off the... struggles. Walk it in grace, but yeah, how about my struggles? And so since God has really revealed these, you know, over a decade now, this grace of God, I've had many struggles. There for a while, when I became into this understanding, a revelation of grace, I felt like I was having more struggles than ever. And I kept saying, well, I got to get back on, some system. That was always the thing. I kind of got to get back on some system, regiment, to get back in order. But I realized, but I tried all of that. It didn't work. So what about my struggles? I want to read this. I think I just mentioned this. I just want to read it out loud. You listen, but God being rich in mercy because of his great love, Ephesians 2, 4 through 9, because of his great love with which he loved us. Amen. That he loved us, even when we were dead in our wrongdoings, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Did you hear that? Seated us together with Christ in heavenly places. Let me say, this is one thing that I saw that it makes so much sense to me. You and I, if you're a believer, you are seated with Christ in heavenly places. See, we're the body, he's the head. And I look at this, could you imagine you're running a race? You ever seen people run, especially like a short race, just a sprint? And what do they do when they get right at the end? They lean forward. They lean their head forward. And see, the head has already gone over the finish line, but the body hasn't yet. But the body is already victorious because the head, Jesus is the head. He's already paid the cost for you and I. He is at heaven, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And even though the body isn't there, we're not there yet, we've already won by him because the head already finished the race. It leaned over. So they didn't say, you didn't get that proper time because your whole body didn't get there. They said, no, as soon as your head went over that finish line, your body, it was like as if your body had been over the finish line already as well. We are seated with him in heavenly places because he has already finished the race. He is already victorious. He led the way. He overcame everything the enemy threw at him. Every possible thing thrown at him. And at the end, he says, yep, I'll give my life. I'll give my life on the cross. You and I being nailed to the cross with him. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Saints, we may have not finished over the finish line yet, but because the head already did, we are seated with him in heavenly places. I have his authority. I have his righteousness. I have his peace, and I have his strength. Amen and amen. You know, there's a Puritan writer way, but you know, the Puritans, who some of them that came over to this nation, establishing this nation, there was one that was named McIntosh. And I like what it states here. He talked about our righteousness or being seated with Christ in heavenly places. He says, you know, our state is at the right hand of Christ. That's our state. That's where we are. He says, but our standing, you know, it says in Ephesians 6, it says, having done everything to stand, it says stand, right? Against the wiles of the devil. You've got to stand. It says, so our state is at the right hand of Christ seated, but our standing is here on earth right now. We still live by faith. We still have some struggles, but the third agent of the new covenant is the Holy Spirit. My whole life, the Holy Spirit is lifting my state. Listen, lifting my state, is lifting my standing as I grow in him to my state, the Holy Spirit. Here's my state, amen, my standing here. And as I grow in Christ, he's lifting me up to my state by the Holy Spirit. How does that happen? Can I read this? Can I read what I think this is? See, I understood grace 10 years ago, born again and everything, but my state and understanding of that 10 years later is much, much more, right? That's the way God designed it. I didn't know everything about his love or his grace or his mercy. I hadn't gone through some of the trials where we're still standing saying, I won't give up. That's my standing with him. 2 Peter 1:3-4 says this. 2 Peter 1. For his divine power has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. And here we go. Through these, he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world on account of lust. And so what I had mentioned last week, my thing is now is this born-again spirit I have, but I don't quite understand all its capability in walking with God and knowing God and sharing God. We're still growing, amen? But now, as I mentioned last week, what I understand now is I don't wake up in the morning. If you were here last week saying, okay, God, I promise to do this, and do this. No, I wake up in the morning and I say, thank you, Lord, your mercies are new every morning. That's a promise. I'll take that. Thank you very much. My flesh, my mind, my soul says, I don't believe it. Well, we say the word of God says it. I believe it. I stand upon it because his grace is in my life. Amen. So I don't care what my soul is telling me Monday morning. His mercies are new every morning. That's a promise. And I will stand on that in Jesus' name. And the Holy Spirit will encourage you. Amen. He will always be lifting you up. If you don't believe the promises of God, he tries to keep you down. You don't realize your state. Because your standing is always believing the lies of the enemy, so it keeps you here. But when the Holy Spirit is encouraging and you believe the promises of God, as you believe them, he begins to lift you up and lift you up and lift you up into his goodness. He continues to reveal himself to you because now you decided, Lord, I'm going to walk in your promises. I'm not going to make any more promises to you. I'm not going to do anything else where I just break those things. No, I've decided that I'm going to believe your promises so I can continue to grow in you to what my state is, who I am. My standing continues to grow in him as I believe in the promises of God that are yes and amen. Hallelujah. 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 So the serpent with no ears that can't hear God, we're hearing God. We should be. He's always lying, trying to discount the promises of God. Nope, you're not righteous. Nope, you're going to have to carry that wound for the rest of your life. You're going to have to relive that thing. There's no hope for you. Nope, I'm going to keep reminding you of the things you've done that were so awful. But when you understand his grace, it says it has no impact on me anymore. I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And from that, when I spend time in prayer, I'm already righteous. I'm already belong to him. I'm his child, justified 100%. So when I come into prayer, now I don't spend an hour trying to get into his presence and trying to get rid of all these sins. No, I come to the throne room of grace in my time of need and say, Daddy, I'm here. Father, I'm here. I need your strength. Thank you for washing my sins away. Thank you that I belong to you. Thank you that I'm righteous 100%. And Lord, when you start realizing that in grace, you can't help but shout, hallelujah! All the weights come off. All those things you're trying to do to earn love come off. And you realize, no more. God has revealed his grace and his mercy to me. That is one of the pillars of the new covenant. Do you know his grace? Do you know his grace, or is it just a word? Is it something you just heard in a song? Or is it something, yeah, I understand the grace. I want to move on beyond that. No, it's something that we live in. As Paul said, it's something that we walk in. It's something that leads us closer and closer to him in our understanding. It's the things that gives us boldness and confidence. And what I've learned about the grace of God, it brings me into an understanding of the fear of the Lord too. Man, when you're in his holy presence, wow, you're like, wow, Lord, I can't believe that you're here with me when I know me, but yet you're still here. And his holy presence being with you It can make you tremble. It can make you shake. It makes you say, Lord, I never want to walk away from your grace. I don't want ever to think that I can do it on my own. I don't want ever to think that I can grow past that. On to the next thing, Pastor Chad, please. No. The Lord reminded me recently, said, Chad, this is. Let me read one other, just one last thing that the Lord opened my eyes to on this grace. It's in Psalms 40. When David had a revelation of he was feeling guilty and he could not get rid of this guilt of sin and the weight of sin. He could not get past it. He couldn't move past it. And he didn't understand why. He says, I'm giving all the offerings. I'm doing everything I need to do. And then God revealed him about the coming of this gospel of grace. And what did he say in that? He says, my ears you have opened. See, only the gospel can open your ears. Only a revelation of God's grace and mercy and love can your ears be opened. You can do all the things that you think are that you need to be done religious-wise and what God would want you to do. You can do all of that and still have closed ears. Lord, I pray that you and I would not have closed ears. Areas of our life, Lord, maybe we have a people say, Lord, continue to open my ears to your goodness. Continue to show me your ways and teach me your paths. Father, continue, Lord, to reveal what you reveal to me. Lord, strengthen me. Lord, if there's areas in your life where you feel weak, say, Lord, I ask that your grace would strengthen me on the job. Lord, I ask that your grace would strengthen me in my marriage. Lord, if you're feeling lonely, Lord, I ask for your grace, Lord, to reveal your friendship and love for me. Father, I ask for your grace to help me in taking care of my needs financially. It is all rooted and grounded now in the grace of God. Psalms 40, verse 10 and 11, it says, this is when David had this revelation, really, of what was going to come. He says, I have not hidden, what he say, your righteousness, not his righteousness. He says, I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. When he started seeing what would come through the Christ. And then he says this. He says, I have not concealed, it says, I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I want to say this morning, I have spoken of Jesus' righteousness this morning. That's what he has told me I'm to do, is to speak of his righteousness. David says, when you showed this to me, he says, I spoke of your righteousness. I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. He says, I have not concealed your mercy and your truth from the great congregation. Today, can I just say that I'm doing my best to reveal his mercy and his kindness and his truth to this congregation. And then it says in verse 11, you, Lord, will not withhold your compassion from me. See, that's a promise. See, one of those things, promises we talked about? See, that's a promise. So thank you very much, Lord. I'd like to apply that to my life by the grace of God through the power of the Holy Spirit living in me. You, Lord, will not withhold your compassion from me. Your mercy and your truth will continually watch over me. This morning, that is only possible by the grace of God. Can you stand up with me? I love that. Lord, you will not withhold your compassion from me. Your mercy and your truth will continually watch over me. See, God gave a revelation to David. It says, you read the beginning of that chapter, he's saying, man, I'm in a pit. I'm in mud and I can't get out. I'm doing everything I know to do and I can't seem to get out of this guilt. It's only the grace of God. Amen. Let me just say this. You may be here and not understand his grace. Can I say that we'd be love to pray with you? Let's see, is Richie and Chamonix, are they in kids' church today? Okay. Take, go get them, would you? Tell them it's time to pray. Amen. If you guys would you guys come up here now? So if you want to come up to you don't even have to have anybody pray with you, but if you'd like to come to the altar and say, Lord, I just want to walk in your grace. Lord, I needed to be reminded, or maybe you don't even know about the grace of God. Lord, I want a revelation of the grace of God. I want a revelation of his goodness, his power in my life. I would implore you just to come up here and just say, Lord, thank you for your grace. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, man, we would love to lead him to you this morning. Amen. To lead you into this gospel of grace. Do you love him this morning? Amen. Do you love him this morning? Father, are you thankful for his grace? Are you thankful for his mercy? Are you thankful for his goodness? Amen. This is what will set you free, is the grace of God. The only thing that will set you free is an understanding of grace through the shed blood of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit working in the sight of you. So, Lord, we love you. We praise you. We exalt you. And we thank you. We lift your name on high, Lord. We thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, I just ask that we would have ears to hear what you want to say to us. Lord, that the promises of God are yes and amen. Lord, that I would, Lord, if there's areas where there's a lie that I just keep believing that is not true, Lord, I ask that you, Lord, we ask that you reveal that to each individual. Here's where we know it's the enemy. It brings condemnation. It doesn't bring any hope. It's always a voice that says it's up to you to make it right. You can't make it right. If you're hearing a voice like that, you say, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. And you start speaking about the righteousness of Jesus Christ over your life, the peace of God over your life, and start saying, Lord, reveal your grace and your mercy to me. Reveal your goodness and grace to me. And then you'll start hearing a voice, the Holy Spirit, through the scriptures and the Holy Spirit, that'll start revealing and speaking the promises of God. And then the promises of God, you'll say, I'll take that. Thank you very much. In place of that lie, I'm gonna walk in that truth. And that truth is what brings freedom. It's what brings freedom. So, Father, we thank you for that today. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus, you deserve.